That I want to kind of point out before we dive into this introduction of the gifts of the Spirit is that God loves His church. There's no other institution on the planet. There's no other thing. There's no other group of people that God has set His special grace on, that He has set His special favor on, than He has on His church, on this group and this body of people who love Him, who know Him, who believe in Him, and who follow Him. And so God loves His church. And because God loves us, His church, what he wants and what He has done and what He continues to do is He gives you and I gifts imparted to us supernaturally from His Spirit so that we're able to serve and to minister to one another. Several times in the Bible tells us to love one another. Jesus says, love each other just as I have loved you. I want you to love each other. Now that's hard. Right? Sometimes that's fairly difficult to love each other because we don't always want to love each other. We don't always want to serve each other because maybe we don't like certain things about each other or this and that, or we don't see each other, whatever. But so what God has done through His Spirit is He gives gifts to us to empower us and to enable us to love each other, to build each other up, to strengthen our lives, to make us better parents, to make us better friends, to make us better Christians, just to help us and build us up in love so that we can take all that He has given to us and give it to others. I know one misconception about the gifts of the Spirit, if you're familiar with reading about them, is that God has given me this gift. Like, I speak in tongues, or I prophesy, or I have words of wisdom, I have words of knowledge, and there is a tendency in the past to say, God has given me this gift, and now it's mine, and this is what I do, this is who I am, and we just kind of there has been a tendency in church to kind of hold on to those, and we will kind of, you know, proclaim them, we'll get little business cards made, or whatever, hey, I give words of wisdom all the time, or whatever, and so we kind of get, like, we can get pride about that, or we can be like, oh, this is the only thing that God is using me in. But that the intention and the purpose that God has for giving us a gift or multiple gifts, it's not for you. The gift that God gives you isn't for you. The gift that God gives you is for others. So these gifts that we're going to go through in the following, you know, the following eight or nine weeks here, these are all things God is giving to you as an individual, but it's meant for the whole body. It's meant to make healthy and to make whole and to make functioning the entire body, which is the church. And so we're going to go through a few things, going to shorten this up. So we're going to read through some things fairly quickly here this morning. And what I want to kind of lay out for you is just a framework and a structure for how we're going to approach studying Scripture as it relates to the gifts of the Spirit. And so the first thing we're going to do is look at the primary texts, the primary Scriptures that we're going to be looking at. And if you're taking notes, you can write these down. If we go a little bit too fast and you can't write them down, I can email you the PowerPoint or I can get the listing to you later. But our primary Scriptures that we're going to be looking at to talk about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us to serve each other is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and then verse 28, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. So whenever we're going to go through each week and look at different categories, I've categorized all these listings. These are all lists of what these authors have noticed and perceived and then recorded as, hey, these are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And so these lists, they're not exhaustive. Okay, so if there's a gift that the Spirit gives that isn't on this list, that's okay. It's just something that when the guys who were inspired by the Spirit to write these books and these letters, these are the things they perceived that they knew of, that the Spirit spoke to them. Hey, these things happen. These things are true. And so these are not exhaustive, but they're fairly well thought out and laid out for us. Second thing I want to encourage all of us to do, I've taken this several times, But if you've never taken a spiritual gifts assessment, I would encourage you to do so. This isn't going to be something that is going to say, this is exactly who you are and how God will use you every single time in a spiritual gift. But what this will do for you is it'll give you, at least for yourself, a framework of how has God used me in most cases or in usual circumstances, how have I seen or perceived that God has used me or wants to use me? And so there's this spiritual gifts assessment. If you go to our Facebook page, I posted a link to this last night. So go to our Facebook page, like us, and then click on this link. You'll have to print it out. I believe it's 120 questions. It doesn't take as long as it might sound, but you just write in the answers or the numbers and you tally it and all the numbers and it'll tell you, you'll see. But so I encourage you to do that just so you can get a personal gauge of, hey, this is how God has used me in the past and maybe even in the present, just for a thing of self-awareness. And then I also want to say about spiritual gifts as we move on. Spiritual gifts are best discovered in the context of having relationships with other Christians. Okay, so just taking a test isn't going to be this clear-cut thing like, ooh, this is who I am, this is who I'll always be. But as you fellowship with other Christians, as you're hanging out in church and outside of church and stuff with other people, you'll discover God using you in certain ways as you're around other Christians. The third topic that we need to cover here to lay a foundation for the following weeks is I've categorized the spiritual gifts listed in our primary texts. I've categorized these five ways, and you see them up on the screen already. I do want to say there is a plethora of ways to categorize the spiritual gifts. You cannot categorize them and just go one by one and just look at them that way. For the sake of being able to preach through all of those scriptures and for the sake of being able to teach through each of the spiritual gifts, it benefits me and it benefits the church a little more if we put these into categories just to mentally so we can have a framework. Now, some of the gifts underneath these categories, you can shift them around a little bit and you might want to maybe either in your mind or on paper or whatever, but this is just the way I wanted to categorize them just to so that we can be on the same page with it. You'll probably see other studies, other pastors categorizing these with different names, different ways. They might do a list of 10 or a list of 3 and then do all that. So I've done this just for our own sake. So this first one is gifts of leadership. And so let's pull that up. And so the gifts that are listed in the various scriptures that I consider leadership gifts the Spirit is giving to help us lead, they are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, exhortation, helps, administration, and leading. Now, I want to make a comment on this before we go on. Maybe you're looking at these and you're thinking, wait, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, those are offices, those are positions, those are titles, those aren't gifts. Well, actually, Scripture and how Scripture talks about these, Scripture talks about these positions, these offices, as a gift to the church. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave the church apostles, prophets. So these are giftings that God puts in people. So for me, for example, God has called me and given me the gift of being a teacher, okay? And I'm serving that role in the form of pastor. So if you were to look at my high school transcript, my grades, and you look at my grammar and my English, I got Fs almost all the time in English. I was in summer school every summer in high school taking English to make up for the failing grade that I got in one of the previous semesters. And so I didn't know how to write. I could barely even speak. The thought of coming and talking in front of people, there's no way in the world I would have ever thought about doing that. I didn't even like being in a classroom with 30 kids and raising my hand to ask a question. That's how much I hated to talk in front of people. But when I got saved, God began to give me the gift of teaching and preaching and so on and so forth. So yes, those are titles and those are positions, but they're also gifts, okay? Second one is practical assistance. I couldn't think of any one word or a better word to describe this, but there's practical ways to assist leaders. There's practical ways to assist each other. And so service, giving, and showing mercy. And these are going to be really fun to preach through and teach through. But so practical assistance is the second category, and those things are in there. Number three is going to be gifts of power. So faith, healing, and working of miracles. These are gifts that the Spirit gives to us, that they're miracle-working kinds of gifts that the Spirit gives to us. And the Spirit won't give that to all of us at all times. But there's things about when the Spirit decides to do these that He does them. We just need to be obedient to follow and to step out in faith, because it's pretty scary. If God asks you to heal someone, if you feel and sense God saying, hey, I want you to pray for that person because they have a broken arm and I want to heal it, I want you to go over and pray for them. Maybe God is depositing in you, number one, probably faith, but number two, maybe He's giving you this gift in this moment to heal someone. And if you step out in obedience and just go and pray for them, just watch what God will do. He'll heal them right in front of you, and they'll have a testimony and they'll glorify God in it. And so number four, the fourth category that I've made for this is a gift of revelation, the gifts of revealing Jesus, of showing Jesus and speaking to people. And so that's just going to include the two aspects of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Well, if you're unfamiliar with what these are, that's okay. Join us in the coming 2 months, and we'll be describing what these mean, how they function, how they should function. But so word of wisdom and word of knowledge are gifts of revelation, of revealing things to us. And then the fifth category is going to be worship. I just titled it worship, which actually this is also maybe in the... is it primarily in Scripture, is in the context of a community setting, in the context of when we gather together as Christians, God will give these gifts to people for them to be used in the appropriate manner. And so the gifts of worship are speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and distinguishing of spirits or discerning of spirits. Other translations will use discerning in that setting. So that is the five categories with all the words put into those categories. This is how we're going to approach the gifts of the Spirit this summer, with that mind frame, with that context. The all-embracing purpose, as I mentioned a little earlier, the all-embracing purpose and function of the gifts of the Spirit is to edify, and that word edify means build up, to raise up, to lift up, not to tear down, not to destroy, not to discourage, but to encourage, to lift you up, to help you in your life with the Lord to become more like Him. And so the all-embracing purpose and function of the gifts of the Spirit is to build up the church. And I put the different scriptures, if we can go to the next slide there, Connor, please. Down at the bottom, a little bit more in context, the original passages and verses I gave at the beginning are the specific ones where the gifts are listed. And so just at the bottom here, I put in context of where the gifts are listed, what is it saying there? And so what I want to do, I want to take a minute. We're only going to read through one of these. I wanted to read through all of them, but we're not going to get there. And so what I want to do, I want to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter. It's 31 verses. If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to open up your Bible and follow along with me. I don't have this up on the screen, but just listen, just read it. And so what I want you to do is I really want you to hear and to listen. And if you have a Bible or some kind of mobile device that you have your Bible on, I want you to read it and to hear it, and really just to kind of capture the heart of what the Apostle Paul is writing and how he understands and how he's communicating. What are the gifts of the Spirit all about? Why does God have them? Why does God give them? What purpose do they serve? And so one thing I want to notice, as soon as we get into starting in verse 4, I'm going to start in verse 1, but starting in verse 4, from verse 4 through verse 31, 18 times, the combination of the word one, and I'm forgetting the other word now. I'm having to look for it. Okay, hold on, let me look at my notes. I don't have it written in my notes. Okay, I'm forgetting it. But the word, same. The word one and the word same, they show up 18 times in verses 4 through 31. Now, if you're ever reading through your Bible and you're noticing a word or maybe a set of words or a pair of words showing up frequently, you're like, wow, that seems really repetitive. They do that for a reason. Repetition, when you're writing, is meant to say, hey, pay attention. Look, I'm trying to say something very important and I'm repeating myself so that you don't miss it. I don't want you to miss this point. I need you to understand it. I need you to grasp it. And so that's what Paul does here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Let's read. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So we can all say, thank you, Paul. 2,000 years ago, thank you, Paul. We don't want to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. How many of us feel we're a little bit unaware, uninformed? We don't know really maybe anything or much about spiritual gifts. I am in that camp sometimes. I was for quite a while. But so Paul is obviously saying, look, people, we are uninformed, really. What are the gifts of the Spirit? It's not just those really weird, flaky people rolling down the aisle kind of churches that have spiritual gifts. Okay, rolling down the aisle isn't a spiritual gift. Okay? That's a different topic for a different day. But so he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And so whenever I read that, I say, thank you, Paul, because I want to be informed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they're many, they're one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged all the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to that part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, than miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all people do miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? These are all rhetorical questions he's asking. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. So Paul is giving us this metaphor of the human body. Some of us want to be a body part that we're not. Oftentimes the preacher, the pastor, the conference speaker is usually viewed as the more desirable thing. Man, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a teacher. That must be so awesome. Their whole job is to dedicated to studying the Bible, to knowing the Bible, being able to talk and preach and teach people, and people are getting saved and healed, and wow, God is really using him. I really want to be like him or be like her, because man, that seems like, you know, they get a lot of glory and a lot of honor and a lot of respect. And I just want to say, don't desire that unless God is calling you to it. And don't desire that unless God is gifting you for that. One reason is because Scripture says that teachers are held to a higher standard of accountability to the Lord. So as a preacher, as a teacher, how I communicate his word, I'm held a lot more in a lot more higher accountability to how I do those things than anyone who isn't a preacher or a teacher. And so unless you want to be held to a higher standard in the eyes of God as it deals with knowing and communicating his word, by all means, pursue credentials and become a pastor. But I want to give that as an example because maybe you're an eye, maybe you're a hand, maybe you're a foot, and you think, I'm not, people don't notice me, they don't think what I'm doing is special or important. Well, Paul is saying, look, if we didn't have feet, the body couldn't walk. If we didn't have hands, we couldn't grab stuff. If we didn't have an eye, or if the whole body was an eye, how weird is that going to look? If you've watched Monsters, Inc., maybe the like big one-eye dude, I can't remember his name, Mike Wazowski. Right? There it is. If a whole church was a Mike Wazowski without arms and legs, that would look pretty weird. Okay, I'm sorry for that. We can have the worship team come back up, please. So the gifts of the Spirit. Why is God giving us gifts? God wants to give you a gift because he wants to use you to serve someone. He wants to use you to love someone. He wants to use you to build up his church. It's not just through me, it's through all of us. As a pastor and a preacher, I have a job to preach and teach his word, which the fruit of that is going to build up your life. It's going to give you depth of spiritual knowledge and understanding, hopefully, if I'm doing it properly. It's going to cause you to grow in your knowledge, your faith, your understanding of who God is and who he is in your life and for your life and how all that works together. And so that's my role and my job. And God gives me other gifts. I want to read verse 11, the last slide. Anyone can be given any gift at any time based on the will of the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians 12:11. Let me read that for you again. All these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Okay, they all come from the Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. What does that mean? Any of the gifts that we listed, that were listed up there, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, to become a pastor, to be a teacher, to be an evangelist, to be any of those things, God can give that to you whenever he wants, however he wants, even if you don't think that you deserve it or are fitting for it. Like I mentioned, I never wanted to be a preacher. I've been a Christian for 10 years. I got saved when I was 22. And there's nowhere on my radar was talking in front of people, was preaching the word of God ever anywhere close to being on my radar. God saved me and God gave me this gift and he said, I want you to do it. And so what I'll encourage you with as we go through these gifts of the Spirit throughout the next this month and next month, self-placed limits on the gifts of the Spirit will indeed limit the ministry that God wants to have through you. And what I mean by that is kind of what I already said, is that God can give you any gift at any time. Be willing to let him use you in it. If God wants to use you on a Sunday morning, you're just sensing the presence of God, and God has given you the gift. He's baptized you in his spirit, and he has caused you to be able to speak in tongues, and you feel this like, oh Lord, I feel like I want to speak. I want to encourage you, wait for the right time and speak it. Because God wants to use that to build us up. And a speaking in tongues, while it may feel awkward and strange, and maybe you wanted to come to a church where that didn't happen, it can happen, it should happen, not necessarily all the time. But when it does happen, the Bible also says that there should be an interpretation. And we'll talk about that more once we approach that day in that topic. But I just want to encourage you, be open to letting the Holy Spirit use you in any of these giftings. Don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm just a foot. I'm just a part of the body that we cover up in modesty because it's kind of embarrassing to look at or kind of shameful to look at. And I don't want any honor. I just want to work backstage and not get any credit at all. Don't limit yourself to how God may want to use you. Because God wants to use you to love a person a few rows in front of you, maybe the person sitting right next to you. And maybe God wants to give you a word of wisdom to help that person make a decision. And you just hear him speak to you, hey, tell them this. I just want to ask you to have the courage to say, you know, you can approach him and say, hey, I feel like God is speaking to me, and I think he wants me to tell you this. So if it's from him, take it as it's from him. If it's not, then just ignore it. But here it is. I feel like God wants me to tell you this. And it should be something that's going to encourage him. If it's something that's going to like point out sin and say you're horrible and terrible and you probably shouldn't come back to church here anymore, don't say it. Okay? But we'll work these things out as we go through. So let's pray this morning. Let's establish this series in prayer. Father, we're so humbled and honored and feel cherished, God, that you love us, and you can't control yourself in the way and the amount and for the endurance that you have to love us. It's so amazing. And God, your love doesn't end and your love doesn't cease. And so because you don't leave us alone, you don't leave us as orphans to figure this thing out on our own, but you give us your Holy Spirit. You give us your Spirit to empower us, to empower us to make changes, empower us to separate ourselves from relationships that are ungodly. You empower us to separate ourselves from dependencies that are not godly. You help us to be you. You help us to follow you. You help us in every way that we need help. And so, God, I pray that for each one here this morning that we can release ourselves and submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to your Spirit, to be used by you, to be changed by you, to be transformed by you. And God, as we go through this series, Father, reveal to us times when you want to use us in these gifts. Help us to have the courage and the wisdom and the tenderness and the love to use a spiritual gift that you give to us for the benefit of others. So God, we look forward to seeing how you're going to build Evergreen Church in the next few months and the next few years. God, help us to be open to your Spirit so that we can minister to each other. And as people come around in our lives and come around on Sunday mornings, that we can use those gifts to minister to them and to serve them and to treat them and to love them. So we pray for that, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can all stand. Maybe sit and stand, get a little bit of breeze to cool yourself off. Wave.